Welcome to Ahead of the Curve, the Scoliosis Experience podcast, where my aim is to empower individuals with scoliosis and movement professionals alike by providing free, up-to-date information on scoliosis management and treatment. My goal is to improve the quality of life for those with scoliosis and equip movement professionals with the knowledge and skills needed to effectively support them. Hi, welcome back to Ahead of the Curve. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Teed, and I am kind of excited about today's topic. Today we're going to be talking about recent research and scoliosis findings. And the reason why I say I'm kind of excited, I do feel that research is important. I also feel like research can be very dull, so I will try to make this as interesting and easy for you to understand so that you don't fall asleep or just choose not to listen to this episode. Research in the physical therapy world can be a bit overemphasized in some ways, where people say, well, I didn't learn this in physical therapy school, or where's the research to back this up? And if, you know, somebody's talking about a treatment idea that is outside of the box of what people generally will use to work with somebody who has a particular injury. And then the same thing applies for scoliosis. It's the same as any other condition in the physical therapy realm. You can go on Instagram and see lots of like some bullying that happens, or just, what is the word I'm looking for? Trolling that happens when, you know, people who are considered like research Nazis. They like to kind of come out through the woodwork and rear their head with certain things. So I am going to talk about a couple of different studies that I found interesting that are specific to what I do on a daily basis. And I think that you'll find them pretty interesting too. The first study is from 2020. And this is a long title to the study. It is outcome of 24 weeks of combined Schroth and Pilates exercises on Cobb angle, angle of trunk rotation, chest expansion, flexibility, and quality of life in adolescents with idiopathic scoliosis. First, I am going to just explain a couple of the terms that are even in the title that you might not know what those terms are. I think that you probably know what a Cobb angle is. So that is the degree of curve that you have that's measured using an x-ray. Angle of trunk rotation, that is measured using a scoliometer. So that's the little device that maybe your school nurse used to screen you with. It has a small little arch for your spine to run down the center. It's rectangular shaped, and then there's a little marble in there that floats from side to side, and it's measuring just the angle of rotation that you have in through your spine. So they run it down the whole length of the spine, from the cervical spine the whole way down to the pelvis. And that's something that I use clinically on almost a daily basis with my clients that I work with in person. And that can change on a daily basis. And that's kind of a neat thing. There tends to be a correlation between a lower angle of trunk rotation and lower pain levels. So the more rotation that you have through the spine, generally the higher levels of pain you will experience. Chest expansion is exactly what it sounds like. That's measured using cloth measuring tape. You wrap it around the trunk. Usually there's three different spots that you measure. Measure underneath of the armpit, across the nipple line, and then at the belly. And that is measuring a form of your lung capacity. And then quality of life is measured using an outcome measure. So I'll explain that in a little bit. So the goal of this study was to assess the effects of combining Schroth and Pilates exercises in adolescents with mild to moderate scoliosis. They used 69 adolescents aged 10 to 17 with scoliosis, and their Cobb angles range from 10 degrees to 45 degrees. So anybody that was outside those parameters, they were excluded from the study. The exercise protocol was conducted over 24 weeks, and it involved certain exercises from Schroth and Pilates. And it was about a 60-minute long protocol that they would follow on a daily basis. And they included in the study little diagrams of the exercises that they included in the treatment protocols. And I was kind of surprised about some of them. Some of them, on the Pilates end, they are considered contraindications to scoliosis and range flexion exercises, looking like end range extension. So I found that interesting that was included. They did assessments before treatment. They did reassessment at 12 weeks and then again at 24 weeks. So it was 6 month long treatment or study. They saw significant improvements in the Cobb angle, significant improvements in angle of trunk rotation, chest expansion, trunk flexion, and quality of life. Sorry, trunk flexibility and quality of life. So the study concluded that the combination of the Schroth and the Pilates exercises were beneficial for adolescents with mild to moderate scoliosis, idiopathic scoliosis. So that's good news for what I do on a daily basis, because that's the combination of things that I use to work with my clients. Know that they're not all adolescents, but I think that there's probably a pretty good carryover from that study. The next study is from 2018, and this looked at the effectiveness of body basic awareness therapy in adolescents with idiopathic scoliosis. So body basic awareness therapy is body awareness. So understanding where you are in space. This was a randomized controlled study, and the study aimed to see how basic body awareness therapy, abbreviated as BBAT, affects various aspects of adolescent idiopathic scoliosis patients. There were only 20 female participants, and they were randomly divided into two groups. So they had the body awareness group, and then they had the traditional exercise group. The body awareness group, they received body awareness exercises and traditional exercises, and then the other group was only purely traditional exercises. The measurements that they looked at, or the assessments that they looked at, again, they were the Cobb angle of trunk rotation using the scoliometer, And then they had a couple of different assessments that weren't used in the first study. The next one was trunk asymmetry using the posterior trunk symmetry index. And then they also used the SRS 22 assessment. So that's the quality of life assessment that was used in the first study. And it asks you several questions about how you feel about your scoliosis, whether you look in the mirror a lot throughout the day, if you feel like you are trying to camouflage or hide your curve, and then some questions about pain levels and how that affects your interactions with your family members, with coworkers, with your job, all sorts of things like that. The measurements were taken at the beginning and after 10 weeks. The patients were wearing a brace and they were instructed to wear their brace for 23 hours daily. The body awareness group, some of the results, the body awareness group, they showed a higher improvement in their Cobb angle compared to the traditional exercise group. Both groups saw improvements in their cosmetic deformity, so body. The way that they viewed their bodies. And then the body asymmetry improved only in the body awareness group. The SRS 22 scores, they were unchanged in both groups. So that's like their quality of life measurement didn't really change. So, some of the conclusions, the body awareness when added into a bracing and traditional exercise regimen, it improved the curve magnitude. So it decreased, that's a weird way of saying that it decreased the Cobb angle. It improved body symmetry and it improved trunk deformity as well. Okay, and the last study that I took a look at was to do with the vestibular system. And this is an even more recent study, and it's actually just like a literature review. It's from 2021, and this looked at the impact of the vestibular system on the formation and progression of idiopathic scoliosis. I was particularly interested in this topic because I'm currently in a mentorship with Missy Bunch, who does functional neurology. And there's several older studies. I was looking more at recent studies for this podcast topic, but there are some other studies that are older that look at the semicircular canal asymmetry in people who have scoliosis, idiopathic scoliosis. And that particular study showed that there is a very high correlation between people who have a thoracic scoliosis and then they have a same side dysfunction of their inner ear, their semicircular canal. And then if somebody has more of like a balanced curve, there's not really much of a difference. So I thought that that particular study was interesting. I will have to find that and link it in the show notes for you. But this particular article, it looked at the potential correlation between the abnormalities in the vestibular organ, which is related to your balance, and the development of scoliosis. The research conducted involved a review of 15 studies that focused on scoliosis, the vestibular organ, and related factors to the vestibular system. The findings suggest that while some of the studies showed a direct connection between the vestibular organ abnormalities and the scoliosis formation, others question its impact on either the formation or the progression. The study concluded that like a single vestibular disorder is very unlikely to be like the sole trigger for the structural scoliosis. But it did say that vestibular system pathologies may play a role in the origin of scoliosis. So we're kind of like left back to what is continuously said, that there is a multifactorial reason why people develop scoliosis. It isn't just purely a vestibular abnormality. It isn't just purely genetics. It isn't purely just environment. It's all sorts of different factors that play into the reason why people have scoliosis or they don't. Okay. I hope you enjoyed this episode and learned a couple things. I am going to link the research articles in the show notes if you want to delve into those yourself. Have at it. They are dense. There's a lot of information in there, and maybe you'll learn something that I didn't touch on. So I'd love to hear back from you what you found interesting about some of these studies, what you maybe learned that you didn't know before. I always love hearing back from you. So thank you for taking the time out of your day to tune in. Thank you for sharing this with people who have scoliosis. And I just appreciate you. I hope you have a great rest of your day. Until next time, stay well and stay ahead of the curve.